You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hey there, and welcome back to Holding Space Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Cassidy Freitas. I'm so glad you are tuning in today. In today's episode, you get to meet Tessa Ritchie. Tessa is a licensed therapist and a mom herself. We work together. She provides therapy to folks who reside in the state of California, specializing in supporting parents, individuals, and couples. She's trained in EMDR. And in today's episode, she is sharing a little bit about her own journey into motherhood and her own experience with postpartum anxiety, postpartum rage, and the challenges that her and her partner faced. Her and her partner are both therapists, and he was struggling with depression postpartum. She was struggling with anxiety, and I can relate to this. This was my own experience as well, actually, in my first postpartum with my partner. And as I know, and as she will express in this episode, things are really tough when both parents are struggling. Communication is really rough around the edges. It's really hard to resolve conflict and feel connected when you're both struggling. In this episode, she shares with us why communication is so important, why it can be so hard, and offers tangible tools that she has walked through herself in her own lived experience in supporting her and her partner in reconnecting, feeling like they're on the same page again, and getting the support that they both really needed. All right, I'm so glad you're tuning in today. Let's dive in. You're listening to Holding Space Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Cassidy Freitas. I'm a mom to three and licensed marriage and family therapist. I'm really glad that you took the time to hold space for you by tuning in to today's episode. My hope with this podcast is to share conversations with experts from around the world and parents who've been through it so that maybe you feel a little less alone in your experiences and the messy side of being a parent and being a human, and so that you can walk away with supportive steps for what to do next. Listening to this episode is not a substitute for seeking support from a professional in your area. I believe that holding space and offering presence to both ourselves and others is truly one of the most meaningful ways that we can express care. And you are so deserving of that care. All right, are you ready? Let's dive in. Hi, Tessa. Thank you so much for taking the time to come on and have this conversation with me today and just any chance I get to spend time with you and connect, I am grateful for. So thank you so much.
I'm super happy to be here. This is a dream for me to be on your podcast. I've listened to many hours of it postpartum. And so to be on it and talking to you is just a dream for me. So thank you for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
Well, I'm really excited to get a chance to hold space for you and your story today. I know anytime that I've been able to share pieces and parts of my own experience postpartum, it's been like just another way in which I've made meaning of my experiences as a person. And so I'm honored to get to hold some of that space for you today. And how about before we dive into our topic, you share a little bit about yourself with the listener and we can both share how we know each other.
Awesome. Okay. So I just want to start by saying I'm like a very average mom. Like I haven't written any books or like done anything like spectacular. I am literally like an average mom, an average listener. Like I just happen to have my background specialty in counseling and in perinatal mental health, but like I am very much relate to a lot of the moms that tune in and listen. Like a lot of the stuff that you talk about on your podcast was new information to me as a mom. And so, I am a licensed professional clinical counselor. And so I do therapy with individuals and couples and have been doing therapy for about 10 years. I got my master's in mental health counseling and behavioral medicine at Boston University. I worked in trauma for a good deal of my career. So I really didn't have a ton of experience working with parents or, moms in general. I wasn't a mom yet. And so I really just, that door just wasn't open for me early on in my career. I started to work with some moms, mostly teen moms. I was working in trauma work, working with survivors of sex trafficking, minors that had been survivors of sex trafficking, and a lot of them were teen moms. And so I started to see kind of what that experience was like, but at a much different level. Just the resources just weren't there for them, and the support wasn't there. And so I was starting to get a little bit more interested when I started working with them and seeing just the struggles that they went through, and just how difficult that time was for them. But I still, it just wasn't my passion. Like my passion was trauma and my passion was working with families and stuff. And then I became a mom and it just all changed for me. Everything changed.
Yeah.
As you know, being a mom changes everything. But what I wasn't expecting was just change my shift in clinical practice. And even when I was pregnant, I just had this almost like light or spark come alive in me. I was doing a lot of clinical supervision. So I was teaching students how to become therapists. And I wasn't doing a ton of clinical practice. And I just was like, I want to jump back into this. Like, I just feel this so deeply that I want to pivot what I'm doing and, you know, get back into working with pregnant folks, parenting folks, couples, individuals. And so I sort of took a deep dive into that. I totally switched my career, what I was doing. I quit my full-time job and I started doing private practice and working specifically with perinatal population. And that's kind of how I found you and the practice. I was just trying to learn as much as I could about this experience for other folks, get trainings. And yeah, I stumbled upon your podcast and it really helped me professionally, and it really changed my experience personally as someone going through postpartum.
I love that you are a mom, and I understand, I totally understand what you mean by like average mom. Like I'm not like writing books and right. Like, you know, and I know that, yes, I've had those people that have made meaning of their experiences and taken the route of making the choice to write a book as a way to support moms on the podcast, and the work that you do. And I know what an incredible clinician you are in the feedback that your clients experience when they spend those 45, 50 minutes with you in session and build that connection and receive that support, that the work that you're doing is so important, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. Yeah. I just want to make sure that I name that, that like some folks, their work becomes a book, or their work becomes a course, or their work becomes, right, like what they do in their homes and the cycles that they break in their own homes. Mm-hmm. And, or this, the courageous step they take to ask for help. And then some, you know, show up in those really vulnerable spaces with those who are suffering and struggling and needing that support. And that's you.
That's me. Yeah, I think for me, like going back into the clinical space and, you know, really working with these folks, I just understood them on a deeper level than I had with any type of client before. And it just like we shared this language of like what we were experiencing. And obviously, you know, the focus is on my clients and what they're experiencing, but having somebody who's gone through it and they can really say like, oh, you get it, right? I think that was really powerful for me and made me feel really like I was, you know, helping folks. Because postpartum was not easy for me. Pregnancy was not easy for me. Yeah. And I think that, yeah, it just really changed the way I interact with everybody in my life.
Yeah. Can we dive into that a little bit? And I'd love to hear you share whatever you feel ready and comfortable sharing about your story and about your journey into motherhood.
Yeah. So I'll jump into like the postpartum period, because that was where I think I experienced the most difficulty or the most changes. It's honestly, I was trying to think about what to say here, because a lot of it is blurry for me. A lot of it, like I was in such a fog during that time. Yeah. Like it's hard to remember. I knew like day to day was a big struggle. But now looking back, like it's hard to pinpoint like what exactly was so hard about that time for me. But when I think about it, like it just was this huge shift that literally changed every single aspect of my life. Like from one day to the next, everything about my life was different. My body, my mental health, my career, my marriage, my self-worth, my confidence, my finances, my autonomy, like everything that was me was all of a sudden shifted.
Hey there, I hope you are enjoying the episode so far. There is something that my husband and I both agree on, and that is our love of Cozy Earth loungewear. I first discovered Cozy Earth in my most recent postpartum experience, so back in 2020, and I was an instant fan. Loved the material. It was so soft, so breathable, so comfortable, and really easy now to transition from hanging out at home to going and picking up the kids to recording podcast episodes. I'm a huge fan. And my husband, I remember us, we were hugging and he was like, oh, that feels really nice. And he kind of felt the material that I was wearing. It was a Cozy Earth pajama set. And so then I got him some loungewear from their men's line. And he wasn't sure at first because I'm always cold and he runs really hot. And somehow their responsibly sourced viscose from bamboo material works for both of us. So Cozy Earth provided an exclusive offer for my listeners today, 35% off site-wide when you use the code DrCassidy35. go check out their loungewear at cozyearth.com and use that code DrCassidy35. I really think you'll love it.
And it just felt like I had zero control, zero like timeline of like, you know, when is this going to shift back, zero structure. And I very much thrive on control and structure and certainty. And so
I can't relate to that at all. yeah. Same.
Yeah. So it was just like, I just didn't know how to be in that space, especially I think, you know, for a lot of folks that decide to become parents, we've had a lot of structure in our lives. Like there's a lot of, you know, success at work or success within our marriage or, you know, our relationships. And we basically think like, okay, well, if I work hard enough at this thing, then, you know, things will happen and it will be successful, you know, quote unquote successful. But then we don't think about there's this like X variable, which is the baby, that is just like, it's uncontrollable, right? Like we can't control that variable. And so we're equating success with something that is just like uncontrollable. And that really hit my like self-esteem, my self-worth. Like it just felt like I was doing everything wrong all of the time. But it just was that I had this like thing that I couldn't account for and control for in my equation. And so, yeah, I really, it was difficult for me. Another part that made this difficult was I did experience postpartum anxiety, and it really manifested in postpartum obsessive compulsive disorder for me. I had lots of intrusive thoughts about something happening to me, my child, my husband, lots and lots of them. And they were very uncontrollable and they were very distressing. And I just didn't know what to do about it. Which feels scary as a therapist because it also feels like, oh, I should know what to do about this. Like I've helped people with this before.
The shoulds. should all over ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so I just felt very isolated. I felt very alone. I felt like I didn't – even though like – it was so helpful to have mom friends. And I think that really helped me a ton to feel supported. Everybody's postpartum experience is different. Like even if I had somebody that said, oh yeah, I have those thoughts too, their thoughts could be totally different than mine or like what they focused on. And so I never quite felt like fully understood in this space. And so I think the podcast really helped me with that because I could like go through the topics and identify like, oh, this is what I'm really feeling and experiencing. And I could listen to people talk about that and give words to exactly what I was experiencing. And that made me feel a lot less alone. It made me feel understood and seen. And I think that was the big thing for me that was so hard is I just didn't feel understood or seen at the time that I was postpartum. And so I think that really helped me. And so then I started following you on, you know, social media and all that. And then you asked for a therapist to join your practice. And I was like, oh, what a, you know, how silly. I'll just, you know, apply to this and I'll never hear from her. And I swear when the email came back,
I immediately responded.
I was like, is this a robot? Like, I'm actually talking to her. Like I had a major professional therapist crush on you.
Oh my gosh.
Well, even when I was like going in the interview.
The crush is mutual now. Yeah. All you had to do was reach out. Because yeah, I got your email and I remember just being immediately struck just through the words you had typed out, that what really kind of came through was like this deep understanding of the challenges within the motherhood experience, and the willingness to embrace like your humanness, right, in this. And I just, I know from my own work, and not every therapist takes the same approach. And gosh, like, I know I'm not the right fit for everybody. And like, thank goodness there's diversity within the mental health field and providers. But one of the ways in which I have like started to connect with my clients and integrate into my work was like, I'm also going to show up as a human being that yes, has training and yes, has things that I can bring, right, and tools that I can bring into those sessions. But like, first and foremost, like, we're two human beings connecting in a season that is really, really hard, that is also really, really precious and important to us. And, you know, and it's interesting because I think when I was being trained initially, I didn't feel like I could show up as a human being. And that's why like even getting on social media was like terrifying at first. But it really came through that you aligned with that approach. And I thought, hey, if people are reaching out to me because there's some part of them that's connected to something that I have, you know, scaredly puts out there, right, in hopes that it would help one person, then I think they might connect with her too. And that's been the case for sure. And you bring your own magic to the work too. And so I am so excited to get a chance to give you this space for the listener to hear things that you're saying that resonate. Because I mean, so much of what you shared resonated with me too. And you're right. There's so much of it feels like a blur. And as you were talking, it was like bringing forward for me some of the more specific pieces of what felt so hard, right? Like I had learned how to achieve things. If I worked hard enough, studied hard enough, right? Like, then and pushed aside my needs, right, for that that like big push, then I would succeed and I'd get the benefits of that success, whatever I had decided that was going to what those benefits were, and then I'd have some margin and some space, right, like spring break or right like a weekend to like decompress and like, you know, feel like myself again. And it still wasn't a good cycle. It was still a cycle that I really needed help shifting, but there was still that space. And then I becoming a mom, and all of a sudden, where is that space, right? And something that you named was like that not knowing what the timeline was, right? Like when is this project due so that I can get my grade and know that I'm doing a good job, and then like moving on. And I think that's why we become so obsessed. I know for me, I became so obsessive about the routine and the schedule and the feeding and the milestones and the sleep routine and the sleep. And like, when, as soon as we get to this milestone, then I'll know that like, I did this right. I did a good job. And oh my gosh. And I just kept reaching for that. And then I realized I was not present, and that felt like a shame spiral. And oof.
Yeah. It's so complicated. There's so many layers of it. And like, I worked in complex trauma. Like the work that I did before I came into the perinatal mental health field was complex, intense trauma. And this like just was so insane to me. Like the perinatal field is so, to me, in my head, was so much more complex, maybe because I was experiencing and I hadn't experienced what these other folks had experienced. But there were just so many layers. And that was why I think, which is another part that we'll talk about, is like why my marriage struggled so much postpartum, because I didn't know how to explain what was going on for me. I didn't know how to give it words. I didn't have the mental energy or like space to even name what was happening. And that like just significantly contributed to the space I was in and like the way that I was feeling and like my postpartum anxiety and postpartum struggle, which they've done like research on that, you know, having a supportive partner and like somebody who really gets it and understands is super helpful for, you know, warding off postpartum depression and anxiety.
Yeah.
And in like a twisted part, the more that the, you know, birthing person is feeling postpartum depression, the more likely their partner is going to feel depression. So you're in this cycle of like, like everybody's feeling depressed and anxious and like you're just feeding off of each other. And that was very much the dynamic me and my partner had during that time. He struggled with postpartum depression. I struggled with postpartum anxiety, definitely struggled with postpartum rage, and also the obsessions and compulsions. And so it was just a very difficult time for us. We just didn't have space to see each other, like, which is so hard because that's all you want during that space is to like feel validated and like understood and seen and supported. And like, we just couldn't give that to each other. And it just spiraled. Like we just couldn't get out of it. Right. Like we just could not get out of it. And so I think that really contributed to also like my experience postpartum.
So one of the things that I love about your work and your skills is your ability to kind of bridge that those personal pieces and experiences that bring that deep empathy and understanding to, okay, now how can we make this, like how can we begin to really make sense of this and like practically make a shift and change some of these cycles? And so talk to me a little bit about why communication and postpartum, why specifically communication and postpartum is so hard, right? Like you named how protective it is to have a supportive partner and a strong partnership. And it's like, I knew that data.
Right.
And then I was like, wait, but now we're like in this shit storm together in this like really like nasty cycle of my husband also experienced postpartum depression and I also experienced postpartum anxiety. Mm-hmm. And it's like we are so swept up in this that it was really hard for us outside of eventually getting support. Same here though, mm-hmm. the like I should know how to fix this myself, which was not true, right? Like I'm a human being. I also need support. But it took us a while to get that support. Anyway, back to the question of like, why is communication specifically so hard in postpartum?
Yeah. So, I mean, we knew it too going in. So like around like 67% of couples report a decline in their relationship happiness for up to 3 years after the birth of their first child. So we knew like we were, you know, this is going to take a hit and get on the back seat. And the funny thing is not that funny, but my husband and I are both therapists. So my husband's a clinical psychologist. I'm a licensed professional clinical counselor. Yeah. And so we were like, oh yeah, we got this in the bag. Like we know how to communicate. We're both therapists. You know, it's going to be hard, but it's not going to impact us the way that we've seen other folks be impacted. And maybe that was like part of what was so difficult about it, like having this expectation that it wasn't going to be, you know, what we had seen, and then it was. And so, you know, there's also that sense of failure or, you know, what did we do wrong? But I think we're also very different people. So my husband's a behaviorist. He is like, you know, if I'm saying like, oh, I'm so exhausted, I'm like feeling a lack of support, he's like, oh, well, let's go hire a babysitter. He's like solution focused, like let's figure out the problem. And I'm very emotion focused. So I'm like, no, I just want validation. Like I want you to see me and like hear what I'm feeling. I don't want you to try to fix it unless I'm, you know, directly asking for that. And so we're just like totally missing the mark in communicating and like time after time after time, and we just like weren't hearing each other's perspectives. Again, like I couldn't explain what I needed or wanted. I just didn't have the capacity to like be logical, I think. Like I was postpartum rage and like the hormones, like the lack of sleep, like it's gray. And I wasn't kind in that time. Like I'll be very honest. Like I my postpartum rage like was specifically towards my husband, and like I would literally feel it coming and like feel the meanness and whatever bubbling up, and I just couldn't stop it. And like I would just say things that I didn't mean, and you know, it would go back and forth like that, and not in like a abusive way, because obviously those types of relationships are a different experience, and you know, you would have specific help for that type of relationship for sure. But ours was just, we were roommates and we were just roommates that weren't getting along. And like, it was just so tense. Right. And it just felt like, it felt very lonely. It felt very isolating and sad. And I think that was why, like, and I think at the bottom of it was that we just couldn't communicate. Like it was just so hard. We were just in our own pain and in our own grief around like what we had expected parenthood to be, what we had expected, you know, all of these things to look like, and the loss of identity and the loss of our, you know, felt like our partnership. And it just started like piling on and piling on. And we just didn't have that communication. And then it just, there was so much things, like as you know, and as I'm sure lots of your followers know, that resentment starts to crop up and the comparison of what I'm doing and what they're doing. And it just didn't feel fair. And I came back to that a lot of like, I carried the baby. I birthed the baby. I'm feeding the baby. And like, it just didn't feel fair. There wasn't like, he didn't have that ability. Right. So like, he just didn't, wasn't able to do those things. And still in my mind, I couldn't let go of that. I just wanted him to know what it felt like. And, so that just like gave in, and we started to experience what is termed as negative sentiment override, which is basically like, even when my partner was saying positive or neutral things, like what should we have for dinner, I would take it negatively. I would see it in a negative light. I would hear, what are you making for dinner? Or like, be of service, like do something, you should have planned this, right? Like he didn't say that at all, but that was just what I heard. And again, that's why like the communication is so important, because it's also like, what are you hearing? What are you perceiving? Like, and what is the other person actually saying? Like, what are they really trying to share with you? And that was where I think like we struggle the most in that area, and where, you know, I talk about like things that helped, but that was where like we got the most help, is like really hearing and perceiving like what the other person was saying.
When I got pregnant with my first, all of a sudden I was so much more aware of what I was ingesting, whether it was the food I was eating or the vitamins or the supplements I was taking. I really wanted to prioritize pure and high quality ingredients. And that same mindset has stuck with me, especially when it comes to omega-3. It is so important to support our heart, brain, and eye health, but we need to be aware of contamination in fish, such as heavy metals or dioxins. That's why I highly recommend Puri's O3 Ultra Pure Fish Oil.
I got the chance to meet the founder of Peary and hear all about their full transparency that comes with all of their products. Each batch is third-party tested for things like heavy metals and pesticides. But don't just take my word for it, because with Peary, you can find the actual data behind every batch with a QR code that comes on the bottle. Right now, Peary is offering my listeners 20% off their O3 Ultra Pure Fish Oil and all of their other great product. Go to my special URL, peary.com/Dr. Cassidy, and use my promo code Dr. Cassidy. This even applies to the already discounted subscriptions. You'll get almost a third off the price. So go to puori.com/drcassidy. Don't wait. Use promo code Dr. Cassidy at peary.com/Dr. Cassidy. So some of the things that you named in terms of why communication feels so hard postpartum, sleep deprivation, the huge identity shift, and just like with that, all the new tabs open that the brain is trying to like figure out what it means and like what the role is and how to do it, right? So there's just kind of like a tab brain overload. And then there can be the fairness factor in that, right? Like, who is carrying this new role, who feels like they're carrying too much. And the sleep deprivation, just we always have to come back to it because it like just makes everything rough around the edges. Like the impact it literally has on the part of our brain that like can think rationally and communicate effectively is really impacted when we're not getting restorative sleep. There's also just the ways in which becoming a parent, right, like brings forward so many more opportunities to make decisions where you're having to face communication and old trauma, right? That like becoming a parent can't, it could be old trauma or new trauma, right? Like I experienced birth trauma with my first and just how hypervigilant I was and my like startle response and how everything was kind of seen as a threat because of my body responding to the trauma. And another thing that happened in becoming a parent is my husband who's neurodivergent and has ADHD and sensory processing challenges, he had found a way to kind of, you know, manage that, but then becoming a parent added a lot more opportunities to feel sensory overload, as well as like, you know, in moments when we're trying to communicate and he is overloaded and he wants the conversation to end because he's not feeling focused. It's feeling like too much, right? Like there would be like an impulsivity that would come up and he'd say something to just make it stop, right? And instead of either of us really understanding or having a generous interpretation of the context of what the other was going through, it was more reactive, right? Because we were also sleep deprived while we're also while our brain is also trying to like process all the new things that are happening. So it's a lot. I would love to hear from you now. Like, you know, you mentioned like the intent versus impact piece, right? Like being able to pause and give each other a generous interpretation and look at and check in on intent, you know, intent when an impact was a certain thing for you, just to slow down that conversation. And I'd love to hear more from you around what we can be doing to shift the cycle, because we're always in a cycle. Sometimes a cycle leads to that kind of like resentment overload, right? Where we're looking at everything through that negative lens. Mm-hmm. And then there have been times with my husband where, you know, we're feeling really connected and he might say something and I'm so much more easily able to access like a generous interpretation of his, what he meant there, or to like check in or to like repair and apologize. Right. Like, so how do we shift to a more adaptive, connected cycle?
Yeah, absolutely. I think something that helped my husband and I was getting our own therapy. You know, getting that space to feel completely understood for what we were going through and validated. And I think that's like the biggest, you know, I'll talk about a couple of stuff, but I think, you know, for anybody listening, like if you resonate with any, you know, of the experiences we've talked about or anything, you know, on your social media or your podcast about the postpartum experience. Like, get support, like, get therapy, get, you know, whatever that looks like for you. But get somebody to talk to you today about like what you're feeling and what you're going through. You know, I know sometimes that can feel super overwhelming. I would probably assume like a vast majority of my clients don't reach out for help until months after they've been experiencing some of these feelings. But I would just really encourage folks to get the support, and that there are places that they can get support that can help with that process. But I know for me and my husband that was super important for us, just to get our own individual therapy. And you know, that was, I think, a shifting point for us to start to feel understood, start to have some language around what we were experiencing, have some validation, and then start to implement some of the skills. If both partners are willing, like, couples therapy can be extremely helpful as well. I think it can be just a nice place to have some safe space to kind of talk about some of the things that we experienced during this time, especially if you're talking with somebody trained in couples therapy or in perinatal mental health. Again, to have almost like a referee to kind of like jump in and name what's happening, right? Yeah. Like, it's so hard when you're in that space in that moment to slow down and name what's happening. But when you have another person in the room, like, it can be extremely beneficial for that. Yeah. And some of the things that, you know, I use with couples and, you know, that we started to use for ourselves, were things like what we call a state of the union. So basically, like, spending specific time, you know, for us it was once a week, but where we would sit down and like have time dedicated to ourselves to kind of go over some questions that we identified were important to us. So like, you know, it can be simple as like, how was your week, or like, what were struggles for you this week, or how did you feel like I supported you or didn't support you this week? But it was a space where we could both dedicate to our relationship and give it the time that it needed. Why this is helpful is because a lot of the time, like, when we get in that roommate phase, we get out of the like friendship and like love phase of our relationship, and this helps us kind of like get back into that, like get back into seeing your partner as your teammate, as your partner, kind of getting to know their day-to-day feelings and inner workings. That helped us a lot, because it was a lot harder for me to get mad at him when I knew what was going on under the surface for him. And so having these check-ins were really important for us. We didn't have the space or time to do like date nights or anything like that at that point in time, right? But we did have time for like a 20-minute check-in once a week. And I think that started to get us back into that space of, again, seeing each other as our partners or teammates. And that shift felt really important for both of us to be able to kind of move into working on our relationship.
I think that vulnerability was like one of the most scary things to embrace, and ended up being right. And I think it feels to us like risky, right? Like, what if like things feel so tense, and what if I soften and embrace vulnerability, right? With my partner, and then what if they like use it against me? Like, what if I apologize for something and they just like snap back? And and I remember that stood in the way for me for so long to like soften and share with him what was like underneath my anger. And obviously there were also steps of like, for me, even figuring out what is underneath my anger, right? Or like the root of some of my fears that were leading to like irritability, for example. And so therapy became a really great place to first personally identify like what was underneath, going on underneath, mm-hmm. and how certain things that he was doing was triggering that, right? Mm-hmm. And then I'd respond and react, and then that would trigger him, and the cycle continues. And then figuring those things out with support, and then taking the meaningful risk of softening mm-hmm. with vulnerability, became its own sort of cycle, right? Because as soon as I do that, it did create an opportunity for him to put down some of his own defensiveness, right, or armor. And gosh, then that becomes its own cycle. That with time and more of those sort of like more positive, safe interactions with each other, we were able to find each other again.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I think, yeah, that's the tricky part about it is like, you go first. No, you go first. Like you want it like, okay, if you are soft to me, then I'll be soft to you, right? But we want the other person to go first because we have the background of like, well, I'm dealing with all of these things. Like, you know, again, that unfairness thing. But for me, if I wanted my partner to understand what it was like I had to also be willing to understand what this experience was like for him, which felt really difficult for me. But I think that was like what was the most helpful for me. And an exercise that I'll do with clients is called Dreams Within Conflict, which is Gottman therapy. So I'm trained in Gottman therapy for couples work. And when we do Dreams Within Conflict, we're basically identifying like, okay, we have this conflict, we have this thing that keeps coming up for us. But a lot of the time, like it's what we're seeing from our partner's perspective is this superficial thing and the superficial want or need from them. For example, my husband loves surfing. He's an avid surfer and he would go surfing. And for me, I identified that as like, oh, you don't want to spend time with me or the baby, or like you're skirting your responsibilities as my partner, dad, whatever. Once we identify the dreams within the conflict, so for him, the important part of surfing was that he connected with nature, that it was kind of like a sense of spirituality for him. And this was just this important thing. It wasn't just a hobby for him. Like it was very important for him. It was a value for him. And once I was able to understand that value underneath this thing, I had so much more empathy for when he would want to go. Like this was when he would recharge. This was when he would be able to get that space and connect to himself and connect to a higher power. And he would come back feeling like much more rejuvenated and, you know, wanting to give to me as well. And so for him, like I was able to explain, you know, what was going on underneath. Like for me, it was that feeling of what came up was feelings of abandonment or, you know, unfairness. And so what was important for me is that I had, you know, him to be able to say, I see you. And like that, you know, I want to spend time with you and like, you know, give me those verbal affirmations. And that was what I needed. Yeah. And so once we could understand like what was underneath some of this, it helped us a lot to be able to understand each other's perspectives, right? Like if we had just never had this conversation and never identified what was the underneath for us, we would have just kept going back and forth because it just would have stayed on the surface. I think that's where a lot of fights happen because we only see the other person's surface experience, right? We don't understand like what's underneath it. A common one that I see with clients is like they don't like, you know, a partner might not like how they clean the bottles. I hear that all the time. and, you know, to a partner who's cleaning the bottles, they think, well, like what's the big deal, right? It's like just a bottle. But for somebody who's experiencing maybe like postpartum OCD or the obsessions, or they're worried about like how it might impact the baby and their health, like this is like such a bigger thing than just the bottles. And so what we try to do in couples therapy is like, what's underneath this? What is like the dream or the value or the fear that's really underneath this? So we can kind of get that, acknowledgement of those spaces. And that was really helpful for us. And I know it was helpful for a lot of my clients to be able to have that empathy for their partner.
I love that. I love the tangible piece of that, of just kind of, and the examples you gave, right? They're so relatable. So when it comes to reaching out for support, I know you, Tessa, you accept new clients, you're working with clients. So if folks reside in the state of California, we have a virtual group practice. So we can see folks who live in the state of California, because that's where we are licensed. You do have one day a week where you do some in-person sessions too here in San Diego.
Yeah.
And if anyone listening, you know, lives in California or is in San Diego and you're hearing Tessa talk and you're like, oh my gosh, she gets it. Like, I want to have this conversation with my partner, or I want to understand some of these things within myself for more of an individual basis right now, then you can check out the link in the show notes where you can get in touch with us, with me, and I could send that intro email so you can connect with Tessa as well. I so appreciate you coming on, Tessa, and sharing pieces of yourself and your story. And it's incredible to witness the ways in which you have made meaning of your experience and translated it into the work that you do today that is so empowering for the parents that you work with. And I know that from all of the feedback I receive and just being able to be in conversation with you and be connected to you. So I'm so glad that you sent that email and applied. And it was one of the easiest choices I've ever had to make. So thank you so much for joining me today and for being a part of the team and the mission here.
Thank you. I appreciate that so much, and just appreciate the opportunity to be able to speak to folks that are listening, speak to you about, like, yeah, how to get help, and that there is so many tools and so much support out there for folks who are wanting, you know, to feel better, and that there's hope out there for yourselves, for your relationships, and that, you know, if we don't have the support, like, we can guide you to somewhere to get the support. We just want folks to experience the support during this time. And so, yeah, I'm 100%. So grateful to be here, and appreciate the opportunity.
I hope you enjoyed that episode. If you did, you might want to hit that subscribe button to be the first to know when future episodes air. And go and explore some of those past episodes. Maybe there's a topic in there that you've really been wanting to learn more about. You can learn more about my private practice as well as my parenting courses and workshops at the link in the show notes. You held space for yourself today. You carved out the time and you tuned in to this episode. I hope you take a moment to honor how meaningful that is. Yes, to me for sure, but also for you. Thank you for tuning in, and I'll catch you next time.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.